passe ouais. Un artiste super ouais. Encore un but sensationnel.
Oh my goodness me, what a shot!
Sagosen! Sagosen setter det hen! Han setter den! De I semifinale igjen!
France's men's handball team is widely regarded as one of the finest national teams in the history of the sport. And 25 years on from their first IHF World Championship title, we want to take a deep dive and bring you back to a time when the blue, white and red of France were considered a small cog in the big handball machine, and how they became who they are today.
2-1-0, la France est championne du monde! Et voilà, des instants de joie, des instants qu'ils n'oublieront jamais.
That was the final whistle of the IHF World Championship final back in 1995 when France won their first ever title. A moment that surely sent shockwaves throughout the French sporting scene. So what was the reaction like? We asked Kevin Dumas from Han News just that.
I'll tell you the truth, and nobody reacted. After the first world champion title, because it happened pretty far away. I mean, it was in Iceland. It was a bunch of players that were really looking for party and for fun more than really being professional players. And it was really kind of overlooked by the other sports as being, you know, a one-off. And what happened just after the first world champion title actually confirmed that, because I mean, France didn't do much at the following events, and I mean, it took a while to really get things going. I think the key moment in the recent history of French handball was the world champion title at home in 2001, and it was at home, and it was on national TV. I remember watching it on, you know, public TV, and it was like my whole family was in front of the TV, and most of them hadn't heard about handball before, and it was like the big, you know, the big thing, you know. And suddenly everybody realized that, whoa, there's this sport and we're actually good at it. Well, they realized it's actually fun. And more than the first world champion title, the second world champion title was really key in the development of handball in France.
Maybe not the reaction one would expect. So what was going on here? What was this French team like? What was the French handballing landscape like? Well, who better to ask than Bruno Martini, the two-time World Championship winner, and was part of this French squad who tasted gold for the first time back in 1995. He grew up in the 1970s and 80s when the sport was in a very, very different place.
In that time, France was at the basement of handball. I remember that in 1985, which is a long, long time ago, France was playing Group C and won the Group C World Championship, I'd say like this, in Portugal, by beating Luxembourg, Great Britain, and this kind of countries, and then it was maybe the very first point of the beginning of the French handball, because at that time change has been made at the top management of the federation, including the president, the technical director, which is in charge of, who is in charge of the national teams, but also the French coach, who Daniel Costantini arrived there, and with a strategy at least for the French handball. And knowing that we were not as good as most of other nations because we didn't work enough, so he presented the plan to the federation, and during maybe 1 year and a half almost, the French national team was maybe doing camp almost all the time. The championship was not that important, and the weight of the federation was very big because, of course, at this time there were no professional leagues. So we could make it. It could be much more difficult to do it now, but and it was the starting point with the Group B World Championship in France in 89, who gave the federation the opportunity to race in Group A. And then the things were going faster and faster, because after this World Championship in 90, the A World Championship, France qualified for the Olympic Games in 92 in Barcelona. And then in Barcelona, the team raced to a medal, the bronze medal, and then second in the World Championship in 93, and then world champion in 95. And so at the end, the year and a half spent by the federation doing this big effort and focus on the national team made the things going well and very quickly. But also because for the first time of the French handball history, we had a very strong generation. The guys who were born in 66-67, Frédéric Vol, Denis Latou, Eric Quintin, Laurent Munier, and Christian Gaudin, these kind of players made some very good results in the Junior World Championship for the first time of our history again. And then there was the basis of the team who, after this, qualified for Barcelona and the Olympic Games and be world champions in 95. So more or less, they are the two reasons of the beginning of the success. It's working more and more seriously, and the luck to have this core generation who helped us to raise the level of not only the national team, but all the league also, and all the French handball.
When you joined the team, was it already almost a finished product, or was it still right there in the slog of it?
No, it was, first of all, it was a kind of bet, because when you change the quantity of work, you also have to find players able to accept that, able to deal with the training two times a day during a long period, and not knowing successes at the beginning, because the French national team was not at the top five after just six months or 1 year working like this. It took time. So you have to be lucky and being able to have these leaders in your team, able to work, to make sacrifice, knowing to lose and keeping hope. So at the end, it was not done. It's not because you decide to get more, to work better, that you have the results at the end. It's, unfortunately, the human resource is vital inside of this, and the way to manage the guys also, to make them accept that and make them thinking not only what we are doing in professional sport, I mean the next game. Now it's every 3 days you have the next game, but in that time less. But it was hard for the big issue was to tell the players to focus on what's going to happen in 1 year or 18 months. So with long aims, and when you talk about the possibility to qualify for the Olympic Games, when you see where and in which shape you get the French handball, when you begin to talk about the Olympic Games, it's a very big gap, you know. It's not only one step, it's maybe four or five. So you have to get the players already able to accept that and be good enough to manage them to achieve that, which are two different things.
For you personally, then, as a young player coming into the team, was it an obvious choice for you to commit to training this hard and focusing on this goal? Was it something that you didn't need to be convinced of? Because, as you said, it's one thing to play in a national team, but to try and raise the level from nothing in comparison to an Olympic Games is far from easy.
No, of course. I think the key word is ambition. And not only me, but we were several inside of the team with a lot of ambition. We were dreaming when we were seeing some few European Cup games with teams coming from the east of Europe or Bundesliga or the World Championships with the former Yugoslavia or Hungary at that time or USSR or whatever. And we were dreaming by seeing them, but at the same time thinking that we could be able to arrive and to be maybe not at the same level, because for us it was very, very high, but more or less playing in the same playground, if I can say like this. And we had this ambition, and that's also the our engine was that. A little bit craziness, and because you have to be crazy to accept to work so much, and thinking about that these goals were very much, they were more fantasies than goals for us at the beginning, but at the end, most of us achieved that, and because we believed in that. We were believing in what we are doing and believing in the capacity that all together we could achieve that.
There were fantasies, but then at some stage it became a reality. Do you remember a point where you thought, we're actually onto something here? These dreams of ours are finally starting to, or could very soon become a reality.
When you begin to play some friendly games and being able to make draw or losing by one or two against teams as Yugoslavia or USSR, it was kind of the beginning of something. It showed us that we were improving, and we were seeing also in the eyes of the opponent that things were beginning to change. And of course, then you have to do the same thing in the official competitions, because of course it's two different worlds, the friendly games and the official competitions. But we saw that we were having some beginning of respect in the eyes of some opponents, and we began to be proud of that, because pride is also part of the engine that I mentioned before. And the what happened in the Olympic Games in Barcelona was maybe a surprise for a lot of people seeing and watching handball, but also in France, because handball or French national team were absolutely unknown, because we never had any significant results. Only Créteil at the club was raised to the final of a European Cup in 89, but it's maybe a mistake in the handball, French handball's history. The first result, the first big result, was the bronze medal in Barcelona, with a big fight in the group, with beating Spain on the first day, and then beating United Germany for the first time, losing by one or two against the former USSR, and winning against Romania. These kind of teams, we were the references some few years ago.
So you got the bronze then in 92 in the Olympics, and then the silver in 93. I think your first major championship was that 1995 then, the World Championship? So you came into that team which had begun to prove itself. I mean, you'd been a part of the squad since 1990, but as your first major championship, and now it's 25 years on, and I guess, you know, you've had the celebrations recently online with the anniversary. Are there any particular moments or images that pop into your head now, 25 years later, of that championship?
I cannot tell anything, everything. No, because we began this competition by playing very bad, and we qualified in the group by beating by one Denmark, but we struggled all the time. We struggled to beat Algeria. We struggled to win against Denmark, and we have lost against Germany in the group phase also. So we arrive at the playing the last 16 against Spain, not with a lot of confidence, but less I can say. But we had one player, Denis Latou, who was part of this golden generation, if I can say like this, and decided that we deserve much more than that what we were doing, and so he I'm searching my words. He put all together and create a meeting with all of us. We were a part of the group, maybe eight or seven players from coming from one club, the OM Vitrol at that time, and which were a very strong club with strong personality, and we had a way to do it all together, which was very different from the rest of the group, the French national team. So we didn't act at the end as a team, really. We act as players from OM Vitrol from one side and the others from the other side. So, and Denis was fed up with all of this and created this moment where we could all together speak and telling us the truth, and the fact is that we had the potential to be much better than what we have done, but at least even if we had to lose against Spain the day after, we at least react as a team and playing all together and fighting all together, which we were not able to do since the beginning of the tournament. So he began to speak, and then everybody speak, and even me and or Grégory Anquetil, who we are the same age, and we were the two of us playing our first big championship. So everybody said what he had inside of him, and it changed a lot of things. And the day after, we thought since the anthems that things had changed in the global behavior and of the team, and that we were ready to fight. So that's what happened. Maybe we didn't play good, but we were present in the fight, because when you play against Spain, it's better if you are ready. knowing that at that time they just get Talant Doucebaev with them, Henrik Masip was also playing in the middle, Matteo Garalda, and so on. But they are very, very strong team. So we won that game, and then the other game, the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final, because Denis made this meeting, because he took the responsibility of a leader in that team and create the moment to put everybody with the same goal and the same will to arrive and not to disappear from the tournament. And which would be, if not maybe not a disaster, but painful, because once again the team had potential and very good players inside of it.
And do you remember some? Is that some of the things he was saying to you in that meeting, or are there some of the quotes of some of the things he's saying, kind of putting pressure on you that, look, we have this ability and we need to step it up? Or do you remember some of the things he was exactly saying to you during that meeting?
Not really. It's a good question, because I remember a lot of things. I remember some details, but I don't remember some players saying the special things that open at the end of the mind of everybody. So the main idea at the end was that we don't have to act as a team. We know it. We don't have to hide from it. And trying to escape from our responsibilities individually, and then that we and also that we have the potential to be world champion, because a lot of players were the 93 runner-up, so we could make it. And that's what the two main ideas that were said by at the end most of the players. Even the players, we had some key players until now, until that time. I think about Philippe Gardon, who was the captain of the team. I'm thinking about Christian Gaudin, for example, who were the guys who led the French handball until that game, and that Daniel Costantini chose to put them in the tribune and give the floor to youngsters, as I was. So, but they could have reacted on the bad way, but yeah. They were the biggest support we had outside from the training or the normal life, but also inside. And they were doing all what they could to help us and to be in the best conditions to make a good performance. And that was also the key because, in that time, if, the substitutes, if I can say like this, don't accept the situation and, put some mess in the team, it's very, very hard to achieve something. So the egos were put it on the pocket of everybody, and the most important was the team because at the end nobody remembers and nobody cares inside us who played the final, who didn't, because we were 16 players and we are 16 world champion at that time point.
Do you recall what your emotions were like before that big final?
Yeah, it was so much emotions. It was I was at the same time I didn't feel as I was living the same thing or about to live to feel the same things that I was dreaming on some years ago. When I began to play handball, it was in around 82, and one of the first international game I saw recorded on the old VHS. It was the finals, the World Championship 82 between Yugoslavia and USSR, which for guys of my generation, it's a monument, this game. And I was thinking to myself, but try not to think too much about this also, because I had to focus on what was going to happen, but that I was playing the same level of competition than what I was dreaming some, 12 or 30 years ago. And, so it was unreal a little bit for me. So I took also time to realize that I've been world champion because, what I said at the beginning, it was part of the fantasy because, as a young player, as a teenager, playing handball in France in the 80s, you are dreaming of seeing the others, not dreaming about maybe thinking that you were soon being able to be able to play the same level. That's what happened, obviously, but it was, a long way to do, but, I was not realizing what I was doing or playing, but it's also a good time because a good thing because I could focus on playing the game because we were also quite sure of our strength and, the guys who had the experience of playing a world championship final of the Olympic Games were also here and, I was looking at them and they had a lot of confidence and strength, so they gave us also this energy to me also. So, we make a collective sport, and the feeling of the others is in the locker room just before a game is really, really important, and the trust you can have in them, because when you play a game like this, but it happened also to me in 2001 in France for the World Championship, it was almost fear that you feel inside, or that was feeling inside, and the fear not to be able to raise it to give something to the team and to be to deserve to this level of competition or whatever. You need the others to give you this confidence, and that yeah, that's, I've been lucky because I could live that, because of my teammate.
We've heard a lot about the squad that brought French handball to the front of the handball world, but let's find out a little bit more about Le Bargeot and why they brought out the famous haircuts for the 1995 World Championship final.
Knowing that in the 92, they were almost all or shaved or blonde. In the 93, they came with the beret, French, the typical French hat, and with baguette for on the podium to receive the silver medal. So they had to invent something else. And so they said, okay, well, let's make some special haircuts for that special moment, which is the final of the World Championship. But doing that also, it's also a proof that you are not going to escape. Because if you shave your hairs, or you make some draws in your hairs, and you arrive and you play your World Championship final and you play bad and you lose, you are totally and absolutely ridiculous. So it was a kind of pressure that we put ourselves on ourselves in order also to show the teammates that we were ready to stand that. And we were not afraid by this, and we will be ready the day after. So that it was also not only a joke. It was also to show that we can sacrifice our haircuts or whatever, but we are not going to sacrifice our reputation. So the day of the final, we will be there. But when you see the other teams who were still in the hotel, or when you see the face of Daniel Costantini at the breakfast, when he saw us coming down and arriving at the breakfast, he was so, how to say? It's more than disappointed, I think. He said, "What? My God, what they have done again this time?" But yeah, it was a big surprise for him, of course. But yeah, at the end, the things were, finished well for everybody. So it's a funny part of the legend of the story, but also it's something that this kind of little things that make the group all together also, which is also very important. And if my players now would arrive like this, if we have the luck to play again the final for the Champions League, for example, if they arrive in the morning with that haircut, I would be very, very happy, because for me, it's a sign that they are ready to sacrifice themselves. If I can say messages at the same time, if they listen to the podcast, guys, you know what to do. First of all, arrive in the final. First of all.
The group of players who won the first title in 1995 were known as kind of the partiers, the Le Bargeot. That was their legacy then. What is that? Do they have the same legacy now, looking back from the general public?
Le Bargeot back then had this conception of not taking themselves too seriously. They were really, really good players, but they lacked professionalism. They lacked the structure. They lacked proper clubs. They would probably not be able to fit in today's handball, because they were so, over the top, and they were just looking for party and for fun. But you have to remember that they became world champion because they were actually really good players. I mean, if you look at the names, yes, they were crazies, but yes, they were actually really good at handball. I think the legacy they left is that they opened the door for something to happen. And it just took 6 years for this thing to happen, but they actually opened the door and opened the eyes of the federation and of, to some extent, to the government, to give money to handball instead of giving it to only basketball and rugby and football, I think.
It's pretty crazy to think that, like you were saying there in 2001, that's where the real public attention in France came to the sport. But 6 years before that, they had won a world championship. 2 years before that, they got to the final. And a year before that, in 92, they got a bronze medal at the Olympics. So, I mean, these players are playing at a reasonably high level for a while without any real tradition for the sport, which you see in most European countries is the key. So what do you think was the main spark for this kind of this success in the early and mid-90s? Was it an organizational thing? Do you think that people started to get their act together? Or was it just somehow this great generation of players all happened to come through at the same time, and in whatever way they were brought together and the commitment they showed somehow ended up making them a world-class team?
I think it was down to a very exceptional generation. We often talk about the generation that led France to rule handball world between 2006 and 2013 or something. But the generation in that won the medals that you were talking about was as exceptional. I mean, you had Stéphane Seclin, you had Frédéric Vol, you had all these players that actually played in some of the biggest clubs, and it was really a good generation. You had a coach that understood them, and the players were wild on the court. They were wild off the court, even more so. But you had a coach that was almost military-like, Daniel Constantini, who kept the act together. I mean, he really was key in having all these players go in the same direction, and he would tolerate a lot of, you know, parties and drinking and stuff. But he really kept the act together, and it was key. But I mean, back then the French Handball Federation was just shambles. You know, there was nothing like it. I mean, it was just a name, but it was no professional. And if you compare it to the German Handball Federation back then, I mean, there was a huge, huge difference. And no, I think it was just exceptional players with a lot of talent committed to the cause, and that really, you know, committed to winning the titles.
What you're saying is potentially that 1995 team was, in a pure sense, more talented than what we see in the future with Les Experts.
Yeah, I don't know if they're more or less talented. I think they were really talented. It's really hard to compare because handball back then was really different than compared to what it is now. But I mean, there are names in this 1995 world champion team that haven't been rivaled since. I mean, if you talk about Stéphane Seclin, the right back, I mean, he was like one of the greatest right back ever.
Every French generation that we look at, one kind of core elements to it is the players that were born or come from French overseas regions. And I think for people outside of France, I think a lot of people don't really know that. I think they just presume they were born in Europe, but a lot of them come from different regions. Maybe talk to us a little bit about the influence that those players had on each generation, maybe starting with Les Bargeaux.
You had Les Bargeaux was like, I mean, the main player was Jackson Richardson, of course. He came right from he was the first of the really important players to come from an island, which is in the Indian Ocean, called La Réunion. He was the first of many, and he just changed everything because Les Bargeaux were a really physical team, and he was the brain. I mean, he was the madness in it. I mean, he was the madness. He was able to put out tricks that no one would ever think of, and he kind of paved the way for the youngsters to arrive afterwards. I mean, you had Daniel Narcisse. He comes from the same island as Richardson. You have Nicolas Clair now. I could name a lot of them. But what they brought, these players from overseas, what they brought was their physical abilities. Because, I mean, they are like completely different players. The way that they are taught handball on their islands is completely different to how the kids are taught handball in mainland. They're just really unpredictable. They're like crazies. And if you look at every title that France have won since 1995, all of them you could relate one or two, at least, players from this island that were really key.
Jackson is quite special also because it's he was, whatever the time you decide to leave, whatever the situation, for training or game, to go see a sponsor, to take the plane, Jackson decided to arrive late all the time. And we were, I don't know how many times you were waiting for him in the bus at the hotel to come down from his room and be in the bus as we could lead to the to train. So for the final, he was with Patrick Casal in the room, and Patrick, which is he comes also from La Réunion, but it's not the same type of guy than the Jackson. And so he was at time as always, and he was down in the lobby of the hotel, and Daniel Costantini said to him, and Jackson is arriving, he's ready. He said, yeah, he's ready, he's just finishing his bag to pack his clothes, and then he's coming. So everybody goes out because the hotel was very near from the hall, and so we go down to the hall, and Daniel Costantini was waiting for him, and he didn't appear. So he goes to his room, he knocks on the door, and he woke him up. So Jackson had 10 minutes more, so he took these 10 minutes to rest a little bit more, but he fell asleep and he didn't wake up. Knowing that Jackson was able to sleep everywhere, in the bus, in the train, in the plane, sometime I think he was sleeping in the bench sometimes. And no, I'm joking. When he was playing, he was not sleeping at all. But no, I'm joking for the bench. But he has the capacity to fall asleep whenever he wants. So, but that, it was, yeah. But it's good for the legend that it was the day of the final of the World Championship. But yeah, doesn't care. And at the end, he made a great game, and he has been elected, if I remember well, MVP of the World Championship. So, but yeah, I don't recommend this to young players. If there was some of them were listening to us, no, don't do as Jackson, because he was unique.
This incredible mixture of natural talent, hard work, and crazy antics may have led France to that world title in 1995, but it also cost them potential medals in the years following, and gave Bruno and his teammates some fairly painful memories to look back on.
This core generation, they were called the Barjot, crazy guys, and because they were different, for sure. And they were the guys who were able to work more than the others, and but they were also the guys who were able to make parties more than the others, and sometimes in moments that they should not made. But it was former time, it was old time. Sorry, it was with other rules of the game, and so it was maybe easier to make party before the game than now, but that everything is done to run all the time. So at that time we have time to celebrate after one goal, but it was easier to go out by night before game. But anyway, no, they were this generation had a lot of things. Physically they were very strong, technically they were also very, very good. And they got this very special spirit. But at the same time, as every coin has one positive side and one a little bit more negative, this core generation was been world champion in 95, and they didn't want to get more. They had what they were expected since they were beginning to work with Daniel Costantini. And that's also why, with this this kind of behavior, this kind of character, we also crashed in Atlanta in the Olympic Games, because we were seen as favorites. And of course, we arrived to the semifinals, which is a good performance, but we could have done much better. Unfortunately, some part of the team were not as angry, as they were before. So, on the reverse, Croatia we beat them in 95. And usually you don't lose two times in a row the finals, but France has lost in 93, won 95. Croatia has lost in 95, but won in 96. So they crushed us in the semifinal. And then for the place, third, fourth place, sorry, we played against Spain, who still were very angry about the defeat in Iceland 1 year ago. And we were not able to be together. And we have lost this game for the bronze medal. And individually it was, it has been pain. So much pain for me that I'm not joking, but I made some nightmares during maybe 12 years about the games. What made the strength of the team, this solidarity, this capacity to be good at a good time, this capacity to be all together and to arrive at the end and achieve something, disappeared. Because in sport, a lot of time you have what you deserve. And when you don't want to win, you always find someone who has more hunger than you, or who has more, deserves and wants more the middle than you. So that's what happened in Atlanta, unfortunately.
All these stories, I think, show the two sides of the coin, which you mentioned before very well, and you know the various aspects of this team, which ended up brilliantly in 95, and then the next year gave you heartache and a lot of nightmares, like you said. And then in 2001, in that World Championship win at home, did you feel like there was a change in the style of the team? Because you had the Gilles brothers coming in, Omae coming in, Narcisse. Was there a change in the mentality as well?
The common point of a 95 is that, again, a big new generation was arising. The 70, it was not 66, 67, it was 76, 77. Omae, Guillaume Gilles, Dinard, Fernandez. With other talents as Jackson, of course, Gregory Antil, youngsters like Bertrand Gilles, like Daniel Narcisse, who were younger on generation. This is the common point with what happened in 95. But, in 2001, if we don't play at home, we don't win this final. The Swedish were very, much better than us, I think. And we won because of the atmosphere, because a bit of luck at the good time, good moment, the goal of Gregor Anquetil at maybe two or three seconds before the end to catch the draw. And so it's two different scenarios from 95, because when we arrived in 2001, we were going out from Olympic Games again in Sydney, which we didn't succeed a lot. We lost in quarterfinal against former Yugoslavia, means Serbia and Montenegro at the time. And we were, I think, in terms of level, far from a reference as Sweden. In 95, France was already a strong team. In 2001, it was an uprising team, but not as strong as what it became after that. So again, the weight of the public, of the crowd, a little bit of luck, of course, made us to be world champion in 2001. Because we didn't have the strength of the team of 1995.
So you could really feel the amalgamation of, as you called, the crazy guys mixing with the experts, kind of overlapping that year. And when you look then forward to the high points of the experts generations, do you see similarities or differences between what you guys were doing in 95 and what they did at their peak?
I see more differences than similarities. The guys are much more professional. The guys have this winner mentality. They brought it to an incredible level. When you're talking about guys as Thierry Omeyer or Nikola Karabatic, who has won all what a handball player can win several times, and And this mentality was not the mentality of the Barjot generation. And that's also made the difference. That's also why, this expert generation, made this, or was able to be, Olympic champion in 2008, world champion 2009, European champion 2010, world champion 2011, and so on and so on. That's what it would be impossible with the mentality of the generation who made the Barjot. It was, the guys are work much more. They really want to win all the time. They hate to lose. And, it's not only winning one time. It's not, well, what was the most important with the expert generation is winning the next game, whatever the game is, or whatever the game you just won. You can have won the final, the Olympic Games. They were in the party they made after the victory. They were already thinking about the World Championship in Croatia in 2009. So that's that type of mentality that made the successes that came after a while.
And it's a little bit more difficult to party nowadays, I think, as you said.
You can just party. No, yeah, but one, not only the rules, but the biggest difference, it's at that time when I was young, or when we were young, we didn't have any social medias. So the things you can do, you can do it in a way, and it stays on the place you do it. Now it's absolutely impossible for a guy as Nico Karabatic, or it was like for Thierry Omeyer, to go and make some party and getting crazy and make bullshit or whatever. Because what we all have done or will do when we make some parties, because with the social media, the weight of the image or of everything is too high. Even in handball now, it's too high. We were very, very cool at the time in the 90s. So we could make the things we could do, and a lot of wives did never know what happened in some parties. So it's also something that they have to take in account. So they cannot joke with this, because they are special sponsors, the image of the club, or their own image, or whatever. So you pay the price of the of type of fame, even if it's only humble players, but you have to pay the price of that.
What happens in Reykjavik stays in Reykjavik, huh?
Yeah, not only Reykjavik.
Do you think we're on the verge of a new potential golden generation for France? The landscape of international handball is very tight at the top now, maybe more so than ever, with more teams, you know, playing at a level which deserves the chance of a gold at each tournament. But in the last few years, we've seen very strong underage French teams come through, a lot of talented players who are now or have already for the last couple of years been transitioned into the senior team. Do you think that another big wave of French titles are on the way?
The current team has the potential to sit on top of the handball world for years. And the problem now is to translate this potential into action. And it's been in the last, it's been a problem in the last three competitions. I mean by that all of them, I mean, Dick Mem, Ludovic Fabregas, Melvin Richardson, Elohim Prandi is going to be playing for Paris next season. They are all key players in major Champions League teams, and they are probably among the top five players on their respective positions. But at the moment, they don't seem to be, you know, playing well together, if you see what I mean. The question is why? Everybody have a lot of opinions, but we changed coaches at the beginning of the year, because obviously Didier Dinard wasn't able to make things gel. France have the potential to sit on top. I mean, there are a few weaker positions on the court at the moment, but we still have the best under 25 years old team of all European and international handball. I mean, I don't see Norway coming up with so many youngsters, talented youngsters in the next few years, with all due respect. And same thing with Germany, same thing with Sweden. We have all the best young players, or most of them. We just have to make them play together at the moment.
Maybe it's time for this generation to look back to where it all began, and the French team, which went from world minnows to world champions in the space of just 9 years, and the creation of a launch pad for one of the most decorated teams in international handball. French success may come and go, but there will never be another team like Les Bargeaux.
Et encore un arrêt de Martini qui réussit une demi-deuxième mi-temps formidable. Vous avez vu Delattre lever les bras à côté de Daniel Costantini. Ça, c'est Bruno Martini. Les gardiens de l'équipe de France ne se quittent jamais, ni au restaurant, ni à l'hôtel, ni quand ils s'entraînent. Il y a une solidarité entre les trois gardiens. Il y a Bruno Martini, il y a Johan Delattre et puis il y a Christian Gaudin. Latou, Martini, Vol, Quintin, Antil, Seclin, Richardson, Perrault, Casal, c'est un remplaçant, et puis Costantini et Jean-Pierre Lepointe. Ils n'oublieront jamais.